Pastor Michael, we're in a season discussing questions on heaven and hell.
Ooh.
And today's question is, what will we do on the new earth?
Okay, Ryan, it's a new earth. It's like the judgment has happened. You have a new body. You're reigning with Christ. All this stuff. It's going to be awesome, right? Mm-hmm. What are you most excited to do if it's a possibility?
Well, if we can fly,
yeah.
I would love to fly. And I really want to know, well, if there's like all the kind of solar system and universe as we understand it now and like black holes and stuff. I'm like fascinated by black holes. Mm-hmm. So I really want to know what those are about.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a possibility, yeah. But if we're just spitballing here, that's the one.
Yeah. Were you there when I preached on black holes and spaghettification?
I think so. So I don't know if I remember details.
You'd remember it because like kids at the church have had like nightmares about it. And like my daughter, my middle daughter, it's like one of her most consistent nightmares is spaghettification. So it's a term for what happens when a human body goes near a black hole. And so what happens is that the gravitational pull is so strong that apparently it stretches you out until every molecule of your body is like lined up in this like infinitely long strip or whatever. The problem is that as you get closer to a black hole, time slows down. Mm-hmm. And so it can take an eternity. It feels like an eternity mm-hmm. for your body to actually like spaghettify. So it's like this excruciating, miserable experience for somebody. Apparently, I'm not.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is what I've been Some told by a theoretical physicist. You know. Yeah. So I would love to go into a black hole, experience spaghettification, but have the ability to control time, so that I don't sit there for like, you know, 100 billion years in terms of like, you know, like time changes as gravity, yeah. You know, like Interstellar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Interstellar is fascinating.
I know. Super fascinating. All right. Now we need to get to this question.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So what will we do on the new earth? All right. So on the new earth, we're going to do 6 things at least. This isn't exhaustive, but I think it's a fun list. Okay. Mm-hmm. So number one, we are going to travel. Okay. So this idea, again, we're not just singing all the time, sitting around the throne, kumbaya. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Revelation says this, by its light, the Lamb, Jesus, the nations walk, and the kings of earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there, and they will bring the kings into it, the glory and honor of the nation. So here's what's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to get to some of this, but like, there are kings, there's travel. Glory would be like the wealth that they have accrued. So it's a very interesting thing when you consider like this one verse and kind of let it sit. So right now we immediately know that people will be traveling. They will be going from one place to another. And minimally, like people who don't maybe live in the New Jerusalem will be able to travel to it with ease and will be able to worship. Here's the second one. Some people are going to rule and lead. So there's this principle in scripture that like, if you're faithful with a little bit here, you'll be given something to steward of great responsibility in the kingdom of heaven, AKA the new earth or eternity, right? And so I think this is really cool. You have nations.
I was going to say, when you were just reading that last text, the nations, and I was like, interesting, there's nations
on
the new earth.
Yeah, nations with boundaries, with culture, with a government, with a king. Who's going to be the king? It's not angels, right? How many nations will there be? What language will they speak? What culture will they have? There's something about, in the way the scripture understands nations, is that it's sort of a homogenous group of people with a shared culture, language, and leadership. And so, but at the least, here's what we're going to say. There are going to be some people who stewarded on earth, and they will lead and be kings or authorities, if you will, of a nation in heaven. This idea that like God gets rid of nations and culture and all the stuff, like it's just not true. Matthew 5:19 says, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments, they're gonna be the least in the kingdom. Whoever does them and teaches them, they're gonna be great in the kingdom of heaven. So you do see this idea that even though we're all gonna be very happy, not everybody will have the same sense of leadership or responsibility. So that's kind of cool. Number three, we are going to own and care for land. And so this is a very cool principle, another topic for another day, but property ownership is a biblical Old Testament principle that God's people are created to own and to steward and to be responsible and to care. And theft is you taking what is rightfully and appropriately somebody else's and making it your own. So like property ownership is a really cool biblical principle that God has given humanity for a thriving nation.
Yeah. I mean, even right, Genesis 1 and 2, and he's commanding Adam and Eve to have dominion and to exercise his authority, his co-heirs or co-rulers, and to exercise authority over the land.
Yeah. And what God does is he splits up the earth by nations, and the nations by cities, and the cities by by basically individuals owning and being responsible for their plot of land. And so the world is dominated, or dominion is exercised, as each individual person and family stewards their plot, you know? Isaiah 65, and this is actually so much of the language of the new earth comes from Isaiah 65 and 66. Mm-hmm. So it says this: they shall build houses. You didn't probably think about that when you're going to build the house you're going to live in.
Yeah.
Inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. That's kind of a cool thought. Like, like you can live in one house forever. Somehow, whatever this means, like you're not going to be upset about it. Mm. Number four, you're going to have meaningful work. That Isaiah 65, 22 also goes on and says, for the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
Mm.
So like if you, like some people don't like working, but if you like your job, you're going to be pretty pumped about your job, you know?
Yeah.
But somehow you're going to be working, and the earth will work with you, and you will enjoy the fruit of your labor. It will be good. Everything will work the way it was supposed to work.
Yeah.
You know, go back
it's
to the garden.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's interesting how this, again, we've talked about this like reunification of the spiritual realm and the physical realm being reunited, and how really it's a return to Eden. There's so much in scripture of this idea of this Eden language and coming back to what things are supposed to be like, and how this is like, it's a return to that, the way things were supposed to be before sin entered the picture. Like all these things were good things God created.
Yeah.
They were just marred and been affected by sin. But now it's those same things, but unaffected by sin, which again, we don't really have categories for what working without sin involved actually looks like.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's striking too, because the kings of the nations, there's excess product, if you will, and they bring these things to Jesus as like a gift. It's very striking, the way we think about like government structure, property ownership, in a way that is like not taxation, you know. It's willing worship is kind of the idea here. But number five, we're gonna worship. Revelation 22:3, no longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. Isaiah 66:23 says, from new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship it before me, declares the Lord. And this actually implies like an ease of global travel. It would be interesting if, instead of having like local churches, it seems to communicate that like on the day of worship, humanity travels to worship Jesus together. Like that's going to be such a trippy experience, you know what I mean? Will the angels be our worship leaders? You know what I mean? Like, it's just a kind of a cool experience. But like we have this idea of like local churches and small, you know, just, but think about like global worship, and it does appear that we come to him to gather as a part of our weekly rhythm. Like the Sabbath principle, you know, is good. It was a pre-fall principle, you know, so we're gonna work and then we're gonna rest. And I don't know how people get all over the new earth to the New Jerusalem, but I guess it's gonna be easy.
We've talked about this idea of worship before in other conversations, even when we're not on camera, of worship being, we've kind of equated it to like what we do in corporate worship on a Sunday morning, which is singing, you know, maybe listening to the preaching of the word, but like people usually identify with singing, right? And like making music, which is an important part of worship. But the idea of worship for all of eternity is like everything we do is worship.
Yep.
Everything we do here on earth now should ultimately be about what we worship, who we worship, which is for us is Jesus, but we are just worshiping creatures. And so everything we do in our lives, our conversations, the work we do, it's all actually worship.
Yep.
And we've kind of narrowed the meaning, I think, of worship to just being like singing or what we do on a Sunday morning. And that's not the case. And actually, for all of eternity, we'll be worshiping, but that doesn't mean we're going to, like you said, be sitting around and like playing harps or whatever vision we have, being these angelic creatures that just sing for all of eternity.
Yeah, thank God. it seems that like the principle is Everything you do will bring glory to God.
Yeah.
And one day a week, everyone will gather to worship Jesus and sing and to honor and glorify him.
Yep.
And then you go back to work for 6 days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it won't be an exhausting work. You know what I mean? So you will worship and you will worship. You'll worship with voice, and 6 days you worship with work and life and enjoyment, you know?
And it's the same. Yeah. It's so fascinating. It's the same rhythm we have now. And Sabbath, like you said, is a good thing instituted by God pre-fall. It's connected with God resting on the seventh day of creation. And like, this is what we will continue to do.
Yep.
But again, in a completely new state and completely unaffected by sin, which is, again, outside of our categories, but also incredible to think about.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last one is, we will reign with God. And Revelation says that they, that's the believers, will reign forever and ever. And I'm like, I want to reign.
Yeah.
You know?
So I have some questions. who will reign?
It appears that we will reign with God, and then we will reign, everybody will have a responsibility, and we're reigning. Apparently, like, we're taught that we're going to be reigning over angels, over the earth, over animals, and that we, as image bearers of God, are going to have dominion over the entire earth. Some will have higher levels of responsibility in this reign, some lower, but everyone will have a sense of responsibility of reigning and dominion and subduing the new earth and making it work for the glory of God. And it will work with us, which is great. Now it works against us. But
yeah, when you say humanity, who does that include?
Yeah. So this is, this is a fun thought. We're going to reign with all the old saints who are dead. That's kind of a crazy thought. Mm-hmm. Now here's one that I, different podcast for a different day, but we'll just assume the point. Okay. You think about every single miscarried baby, aborted baby, kid who has died young. And what is it going to be like to reign with those kids who would be presumably in the new earth adults, I guess, they're probably not going to be indefinitely kids. What would it look like to reign with all of these people who actually never had a chance to live life at all? You know what I mean? It was taken from them. They were murdered or whatever. So it's actually kind of a crazy thought to think, sometimes people think that there's not a ton of true Christians in the world. But I think there's a really, really, really 99% solid biblical case to be made, that kids who die, who have not even had the opportunity to reject God, that God will not damn them to hell for a decision they didn't yet have the ability to make. Mm-hmm. Like, God's justice cannot be for what he knew they might do or will do, but it has to be for what they did do. Mm-hmm. And so to think that every miscarried baby, to think that every aborted baby, every murdered child, every SID death, all that stuff, to think that all of those people will be reigning, all the Old Testament saints who believed by faith. I mean, that's a crazy thought to consider. I think it'll be very clear that there will be exponentially far more people in heaven than hell based on how death has unfolded in human history.
What will we reign over?
Yeah, I think the best way to say it is we'll reign over angels, earth, animals. Those are the categories, and there might be more. I mean, who knows? Maybe there's a whole category of spirit beings that the Bible never talks about. I have no idea. Yeah. The cosmos, we talked about this a little bit before we aired, but will there be a cosmos? Because we're getting a new heavens. That's not heaven where God dwells. That's sky, stars, etc. So will there be a cosmos? I hope so, because I kind of want to visit it, but I won't be disappointed if there's not.
These are all fascinating. I feel and probably a lot of people are I never knew these categories existed. I never knew scripture said this, or maybe they've read the scripture but had no idea how to apply it or didn't understand what it actually meant. And that's why I love these conversations. It's we're bringing the text into what it says and then also dissecting what it means and helping us understand that. So I feel like I'm being educated as much as anybody else right now.
It's a fun, no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Mm-hmm. And the mystery of that, here's what we got, and it's going to be better and cooler.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.